In realms of silent apathy, a chirp's calling found, a void profound in hearts unbound, when silence does resound. No serenade of safety's song, no rhythm in the air, the chirping fire alarm's refrain, the absence we must bear. Within the walls of homes we dwell, its echoes constant beat, a metronome of caution's plea, a reminder bittersweet. The chirps, they dance with season's grace, their cadence ever near, drawing men to push the button, quelling existential fear. In stillness there is a yearning born, an emptiness profound, a longing for that chirping tune, a safety net unwound. The chirps calling in the night, a siren's silent song, an aching gap in the mundane where silence lingers long. But when the chirp's calling ends, its final note takes flight, it's time to leave, to bid adieu, to seek a safer height, for in the silence lies the truth, the fire alarm's decree, that in the chirp's persistent call, a need for change we see. To new abodes we must migrate, in search of safety's charm. The chirp's calling, once our guide, now signals no alarm. Emotions steered by empty space, a void that can't be tamed. In the chirp's calling we embark on journeys unacclaimed. I asked ChatGPT to make it poetic, this whole idea of the chirping. The chirping that has been a subject of observations on Twitter, people are noticing that people aren't following proper fire safety measure, and they are letting their fire alarm constantly chirp. When you hear that chirp, it would normally be the signal that you need to go change the batteries, but people are living with that constant noise in their mind, and it is not healthy to do so. So very important, if you are hearing the chirp, go change your fire alarm now. But I was joking around the chirps because a Democrat politician seemed to be discontent around hearing no chirp, and he found himself activating illegally the fire alarm, which is a crime, by the way, in the U.S. In fact, it's one of the classically mentioned exception to the First Amendment. Very often you will hear that yelling fire in a crowded theater, that is speaking out something, but that you know is going to be meant as an alarm to other people and would lead them toward danger or toward some violation of their rights. Yelling fire in a crowded theater is an example of free speech that is not defended under the First Amendment, that is not considered free speech because it is inherently deceptive and sends people toward danger. Lendald Guntram says, awaken AI poetry actually may be one possible way out of the quagmire we find ourselves in. Goaway says, aren't your fire alarms hooked to the mains power with the battery only as a backup? Not everyone. It's not necessarily the case that people have brought wires to electrify their fire alarm. So many people still have a fire alarm that is battery only. Jamal Bowman has been caught activating the fire alarm. And it turns out that it's exactly at that time where there was to be a vote and the Democrats were scrambling to counter the Republicans on the vote count, and they had to read a piece of legislation, and they were forced by the rules of the House to vote at a certain time. And he did this strategically to stop the Democratic activities of the Capitol. Now, people are rightfully pointing to this as a case of double standard, because this is exactly what the Democrats have been reproaching to the January 6th protesters. It's like, oh, it wasn't just a protest. It was a protest that you did to delay an official vote. Well, that's more than a protest made to delay an official vote. That's a crime. That's a crime committed with the intent of delaying an official vote. Yes, it's a coup. Yes, it's an insurrection. And it's an insurrection through criminal means. So if the January 6 people had any reason to be prosecuted, this should be grounds for prosecution and arrest and jail and inability to continue as a politician. Because that is really a trick that is meant to delay a vote that you don't want to happen. That is truly an attack on democracy. But of course, people were joking around. Scott Greer said he just wanted to hear chirping to feel at home. I found this fucking funny. That is why I made the AI poem. He just wanted to hear chirping to feel at home. And that's what gave me the idea of a chirps calling, you know? Because up to now, we have evidence that leftists cannot hear the chirp when it's ringing in their house. We have video evidence that you tell them, hey, did you just hear the chirp? And no, it totally gets filtered out of their brain. But what I didn't know is that in the absence of the chirp, the leftist feels the chirp's calling. The leftist feels a void, and he feels an appeal to action to restore the state of the chirp. So it's really part of what the leftist brain expects. Go away, says JF. An example of free speech exception you mentioned. Woman arrested for egging on looters in Philadelphia 2 days ago. Thought, was this an overreach? Well, egging. Well, what does that mean, egging? Throwing eggs? Throwing eggs is a physical assault. Okay, so egging in the sense of encouraging people to commit a crime.
So overnight, it was a relatively calm evening in comparison to the chaos of Tuesday night when looting broke out across the city. But there were still some reports of break-ins as other businesses decided to just stay closed last night just in case. Catherine Scott has been following the looting investigations and the arrests related to it for us. She's live now in Center City. Good morning.
Good morning, Tam. And of course, the cleanup continues around the city today. And we're at one of the stores that was closed yesterday. Yesterday, all the state liquor stores in Philadelphia and one in Wincote were closed after 18 fine wine and good spirits.
Not accomplishing anything by doing this, you know, but they hurt in their neighborhoods.
In the Center City Apple Store Tuesday night. Meatball on social media. Behind the narration, live streaming the looting, amassing thousands more followers, and broadcasting what stores and which locations to loot. Chaos started around 8 p.m. in Center City. The Apple Store, Lululemon, and Foot Locker hit, but Blackwell broadcasting and encouraging people to follow. Now, at least.
Well, yeah, if you encourage people to commit a crime, I do believe that there is place for prosecution. I don't think it's an overreach at all. Just like there are legitimate prosecutions of plotting a crime, conspiring for a crime. Of course, if you're yelling for, it's worse than a conspiracy. It's you are diffusing, broadcasting your intent for a crime to be punished. That should be punished basically as strongly as the crime itself. The place says yelling in a crowded theater is protected by the First Amendment. Even if it's not true, actually, that saying is deceptive. I've reviewed this question. Some people say this, but I've reviewed the question. Yelling fire in a crowded theater. I've reviewed the question. I remember that there was some uncertainty about whether, in a specific case, it was illegal to say it, but I believe that, no, there's no doubt that the principle is maintained that yelling fire in a crowded theater is illegal if all of the standards are met for knowledge and for understanding the consequences of it. But yeah, I would have to dig back into the into the history. I have a whole blog post here about it. Christmas party, someone yelled fire, Eugene Debs. I mean, there's all sorts of cases. But I remember concluding that, yeah, in general, it is, you know, if you meet the standard, it is illegal. But that the standard was not always met, that the person meant harm. Dust and Diamond says, I would be looting a bookstore, grabbing JF's book. Oh, yeah. I don't know to what extent, given that I mostly sell on the internet, I don't think much looters are getting their hand on this sexy science book that the revolutionary phenotype is. Too bad for them. They're missing something great. There was a pipe that broke in a city and that created water. And Yan Malchung was commenting, how is this happening in a first world country? And Andrew Wilson says, a pipe breaking, lots of signs of American decay, but a pipe breaking isn't one of them. I beg to disagree, Andrew Wilson. I said, actually, Patio Christcon, my father was a pipe welder, and he was telling me how cities accumulate absolutely outdated pipes that have so many cracks in them that the central plant has to increase the pressure across the years just to make sure dirt doesn't come into the pipe. That pressure increase leads to massive wastes of water for cities, and the accumulation of non-maintained pipes with more and more cracks may be illustrative of a lack of budget for these repairs. Debate me, bro! Yeah, I remember my father was very worried about this, about the stupidity of a system in which you can't even maintain your pipes because your pipes are stuck underground and it costs you millions of dollars to access them. And so instead, what cities do is they just hope that it stays packed in, even if cracked, and they basically push water through a destroyed pipe. So now the earth around the pipe plays the role of the pipe. And now you get dirt into the water, people complain, and then they just put more pressure so that basically your pipe, you know it's going to leak, constantly leak water. But if you put more and more pressure, you're going to reach a point at which, yes, you're leaking a lot of water, but somehow clean water is making it to your residential neighborhood. So that is what cities do, according to my father. And he's always been completely discouraged by this. And the fact that we still haven't found a way to build a more efficient city. Like, this all results from the fact that cities are so compacted that you have no other way than to build the pipes below the roads. But then you have mayors that, of course, they don't want to spend money destroying the road to access the pipe to rebuild the road. And so you're stuck with a kind of a house of cards that cities are coming. But to me, Andrew, it wouldn't be surprising that actually in the fall of Western civilization, the water systems and the problems of maintenance around them will be one of the markers of a falling society. So I think that you shouldn't dismiss this as a sign of a failed civilization. Elon Musk, super based, he says, if firing my Barrett 50 caliber. What the fuck is he doing with such a big gun? Wow. I guess this is what you do when you have money. You have these super high-powered rifles. Wow. Pretty stunning, but some people are trying to re-raise above him. He says, yeah, cool, dude. And here we have someone with an even bigger shoulder. high-powered rifle. Wow, man, these people are not kidding around. Me, as a poor Canadian, I cannot have any of this. 47% of my income... 47% of my income goes to rent currently. I could never buy a home. I currently don't save any money. How will this younger generation ever be able to afford anything? Well, look, where's the husband?
I'm thinking of quitting a job that I love because I can't afford to live. I wish that I could just have a job and do my job and go to work every day and it would just pay for life. It would pay for a roof over my head. It would pay for food.
You'll never really quite get there. Civilization is designed to not let you get there because you are replaceable. Visibly, you know, you're not doing an amazing job and you're importing people into the country that can totally replace you at this job, I'm sure. Like, you're doing stupid work. And so you're not entitled to stupid work being sufficient to maintain you and to make you progress in society. Now, people are noting that you are a pretty face. You have a very pretty face. And I think that as a wife, you could charm a man that knows how to make more money than you do on the free market. I would totally look into it.
Food on my table, it would pay for medical bills, it would pay enough for me to like save money so I could retire one day, you know, like...
Well, all of these concerns are concerns of a non-married woman. Thinking about your retirement, you should be thinking about your next pregnancy. And then if you think about this and you focus on it very much, you're going to find a husband who's going to deal with your retirement. He's going to find a way to buy a house for you, and you're going to be living happy for the rest of your life. But something tells me there's not a husband in the picture, because there you are talking about rent and paying your own rent and thinking about your own retirement.
Basic things that we were told to pursue in life and that we would
have. Well, yeah, you shouldn't have listened because you were told to pursue things that were against your interest. Mark D's channel says the 20 cock stare. Let's see. Let's see when she opens her eyes. Is this the 20 cock stare? I don't know how to recognize it. I've been with plenty of women who had 20 cocks inside of them, but in fact, I think that all women I've been with had 20 cocks inside of them. Maybe that's why I can't recognize the 20 cock stare.
Had a job, but that's not the case at all. Like, if I were to stay at the job that I have, I will never buy a home. Like,
you're not supposed to be able to buy a home as a female. You're supposed to be, if you had babies, is she a Canadian? If you had babies, the Canadian government, for to begin with, would be sending you money. They would be showering you with money. And on top of it, if you had a husband, your husband would be making money. And it would be all into this crypto stuff that you don't need to think about and you don't need to care about, but he would handle all of your future and protect your accumulation of wealth so that you get a house eventually. But you're not into this. I can see it.
I currently don't save any money.
Yeah, you won't. The system is not designed for this. You are occupying a replaceable cog of a stupid machine, which is the machine of modern economy, of modern civilization. And if there was ever a way you can occupy this stupid cog position and make a living out of it and have a house, there would immediately be 100,000 people willing to replace you at this stupid cog job.
Won't be able to save. 47% of my income goes to rent currently, which is just...
You put yourself in all this situation. Have you ever considered the possibility that rent is a trap and that we weren't meant to have a society with rent and that People who have gotten into offering you these rents are there to monetize your life? Have you ever considered that 1 year is not long? and that eventually they kick you out and they replace you with someone else if you don't pay. Have you ever considered that it's not a proper environment to build a family and to accumulate wealth to be constantly leaking money like this? Have you studied the possibility of staying with your parents until you could find a husband who could care for you? I'm sure you haven't, and that's a problem.
It's so unsustainable.
Yes, it's unsustainable. It is unsustainable to have beautiful faces like yours, not have a husband. Let's fix it. I'm offering insemination to this girl, just like the same deal as Pearl. I'm offering the same deal as Pearl. I will take care of you. Now let me know, are you up for it or not? Ice cream so good. Oh yeah, I love this. I love this meme. This meme is getting worse and worse as people redo it in various ways. My parents in their 30s, let's buy a house. This generation in their 30s. I really love this guy. The burned out, total degenerate, just raped by life, 30-year-old man. I don't know. Does he have a name? Because I find him so sympathetic. I love this guy. And there he is just watching the gang gang slay. Yes, yes, yes. Ice cream so good. I love that guy because I feel so much like that guy, except that I have reached happiness in my life. But I feel like I had to be burned. I feel like I've been covered with a flamethrower and just burned by life so many times. And I feel like I could very well look like this guy if my looks were determined by my amount of fatigue with the modern life. I mean, I would look like this guy. Totally. He's been burned and exploded. Oh, his name is the Gunnar Wojak. Wow. What is a Gunnar? Because there was a movie called The Gunners. Gunnar definition. I don't know. A man who watches porn, typically gay, all day long and strokes is for hours while edging nonstop and becomes retarded in the process. That is what a Gunnar is. A person who commits the act of gooning. In more extreme cases, many people choose to go so far with gooning that they willingly develop a porn addiction. Oh my god, the Urban Dictionary is such a resource. It's unbelievable. The neo-Nazi shooter who killed three people in Rotterdam yesterday is named Fuad. The alleged shooter, who has been named as Fuad L by Dutch media, killed three people in a shooting spree that took place across Rotterdam. And people are saying that here's one of his 4chan posts. I, hypocrite, is saying that this was a 4chan post by someone who became a shooter. But let's see what he was saying. Be me. Legit clairvoyant genius, bordering on predicting the future. Don't connect with 99.9% of humans, normies, because they're clinically retarded compared to me. Never had any friends or girlfriends. Women instinctively hate aspy men because we don't fall for their manipulation. Go to med school, keep getting suspended for 6 months every year in there because I don't know, it's just weird. Teachers legit put that in the reports. He does everything right, but he's just weird. He creeps us out when he does XYZ. Med school exam commission says they have to suspend me, but can't kick me out because I literally didn't do anything wrong. Takes me 10 years to finish med school. Become a raging alcoholic every time they suspend me. In a blackout drunk stupor, I torture one of my rabbits in my own garden and get convicted for it due to a coal burner videotaping it. So a coal burner, I guess, would be someone who enjoys sex with black people. Allegedly kick my annoying puppy dog in garden. Police raid my home, SWAT style, like I killed someone. Okay, well, we're talking about a serious psychopath here, inducing pain to animals. It's not surprising that, someone with this type of personality ends up being a shooter. The way he is dismissive of this pain that he's inducing, the way he seems to think that it's unfair for him to have been arrested for having animals suffer gratuitously. I think, yeah, he's kind of narcissistic and psychopathic. He says, "My dear Asperger brothers, with my whole heart, I strongly recommend you to just go neat. So not employed or studying." Something like this, neat. "Neither employed nor whatever. And never try to do anything in academics, especially if you're not a cock and insist on speaking your mind like a man. You will be chewed out and you will realize too late that your success has nothing to do with your actual results, but on how much other humans, normies, like you." Yes, like you. "The entire world hates us. Being high IQ is like being a nobleman during the French Revolution. Asperger isn't even real. It stems from being so high IQ that you never connect with other people because their thoughts are on the level of a dog compared to you, so you never socialize." And he ends up with a conclusion that I will not read, but he appeals to the deaf. He appeals to the deaf of normies. Wow. This may be the first anti-normie shooter we ever had. Isn't that spectacular? I mean, I'm reporting this from a perspective of news coverage. Of course, I don't stand for violence at all. But wow, this is the first time I ever hear of someone who explicitly does a shooting against normies. Because he is appealing to death to the normies. You know, wow. Never seen those words together. Pretty shocking. U.S. Border Patrol just reported the highest number of recorded illegal immigrants in history at over 260,000 this month. The full number. But yeah, to come back with the normie stuff. Still, you know, no doubt that this guy was a bizarre guy with psychopathic demonstrated tendencies, with a history of hurting animals. So not surprised that it built into violence. But I think that our society is too too prone on rejection of this type of personality. I think this guy may have been driven a path where he wouldn't commit violence, perhaps. Of course, he seems very narcissistic, and so who knows, maybe any society would have committed violence in, but this whole rejection, this whole, oh, well, you said something edgy, therefore we're going to treat you as bizarre. And please understand, and that's my message to the normies, please understand that there are different minds than yours out there, and that you have been farmed to be the way you are. You have been farmed to be this cock who kneels to every social request. You have been cultivated, you have been trained to be that way, and you have been genetically farmed to be that way through the process of sexual selection and woman slapping your face if you say something edgy on the first date. Please understand that your mind is not the only type of human mind, normies. And please show some openness. Show some openness, because we, the edgies, the people who get excited at dark humor, call us SP, call us whatever you want. The people who have a different mind that has its boundaries much more expanded, where, you know, you have to have something dark in your joke for me to find it funny. We are a different type of mind. It's a creative mind. It's a mind that can have uses in our society. But I don't like that we're always on the front line of getting hit with a baseball bat. We're always on the front line of getting your social dismissal. We're always on the front line of being the first rejected among all, and the first about whom people will say, oh, this guy is a future school shooter. I mean, as long as you keep saying this, you might make more people become school shooters. How about you open your mind, understand that the violation of social norms is actually a playful and comedic thing. It could be interesting, and if not interesting for you, just signal your unwillingness to participate to it. We don't want to shock you against your consent, but we want to, sometimes when we breach the etiquette, sometimes it's to remind all of us the system of hidden etiquettes we all live under. And if not any other use, certainly the ASP has this use to their presence in society to make us realize again that, hey, we're just this bunch of NPCs walking around and repeating what people want to hear. And if the ASP is only here on Earth to make you realize that for a second in your life, still, that would be very useful of a role on this planet. Much more useful than a lot of you NPCs. U.S. Border Patrol just reported the highest number of recorded illegal immigrants in history at over 260,000 this month. The full number, including unrecorded, may be over 500,000 per month, which is the population of Wyoming. Yeah, which is why when you look at what is Elon doing this? Has Elon captured all of these immigrants, or does he only have a subset of them? Is he holding them by lasso, or is he just talking to them? How does that work? But Elon was there at the border, and he was wanting to bring attention to the border situation. What's going to happen to all these migrants under the bridge? When you look at the number of people that the Democrats are letting in, you realize that even strategies like reconcentration towards certain states will not save you from the coming demographic attack. Eventually, you're going to have to either basically separate from the U.S. or travel out of the U.S. There will be no escape. What else do we have today? So Bowman, the guy who was found activating the fire alarm to delay a vote, it's actually that guy. We had covered that guy on another interaction before, where he is trying to outshout and yell and keep the other person from making their argument.
Talking about gun violence.
In a school that allows teachers to carry.
So this guy cannot tolerate the idea of having other voices. You can see how calm this guy is. He's a Republican guy. I don't remember his exact name. Is it Paul Gosar or some other name? I don't remember who he is. But he's super calm, and he's laying out his argument. Hey, maybe we could have a system where certain teachers in the school may feel confident in carrying a gun, and perhaps we can count on these teachers. That would already be better to intervene against a school shooting than having no teachers at all. And he's trying to shout over because he can't process the fact that someone more intelligent than him is laying out a very reasonable argument.
More guns lead to more death.
And so all he has is yelling. And what he's doing there is outspeaking the other, trying to flood the other so that we don't hear him. And it's exactly what he's done also with the fire alarm, which leads me to conclude that his excuse that he didn't expect that pulling the fire alarm would raise the fire alarm. Well, yeah, it's written on there. It's fire alarm. There are instructions in case you don't understand that. Yeah. If you pull this, you're going to be triggering a fire alarm. I think that this guy just has a psychology of entitlement. And he believes that he is entitled to silence the other side. And it was precisely the tactic he used by putting the fire alarm, the other side will not get to make their vote and potentially win the vote. Shock, in the late Friday announcement, the Trudeau government announced they will begin to regulate podcasts. It's a false representation, this title. I'm all for contesting the streaming law that Trudeau is pushing. I think it's a crap law, but it's simply not true that podcasts will begin to be regulated. People were telling me on Discord, Jeff, will you have to register? No, this is still the same law that was advanced many months ago that forces companies that have more than 10 million streams per month or whatever, some number, and companies like Netflix and YouTube will have to register. And really, it's a law that's not so much about me as a podcaster. It's a law that's about algorithms, basically. The Canadian government wants to take control of the YouTube algorithm. And I don't know if it will impact me at all. I certainly know that I'm not targeted by this law in terms of me registering as a podcaster. So to say that they regulate podcasts is not truly what's happening. They are regulating platforms to take control of their algorithm. Now, that's a bad thing. And I want us to talk about how bad it is and contest it. But I hate it when the right does this, where they have these sensationalist titles that are simply meant to deceive. And this one deceived people in my crowd because some people were worried on the Discord. Well, I'm here to reassure you, the government is definitely bad in Canada, but not as bad as this headline claims it to be. This is stunning, and this shows the whole war that is truly happening between the left and the right, and ultimately it's a war between racially conscious leftists and right-wingers who are in denial of the importance of race. The leftists know what they're doing. They're not about immigration as a whole. No, they care about immigration because it's tactically to their advantage to import non-white minorities into the U.S. because they want them to become non-minorities. They want them to become majority. So they eternally vote for them. But when you see who the Democrats are going after in the immigration process, you realize that the Democrats aren't for open borders. In fact, they are for open borders for minorities. And when it's white people, they want a benefit from the usual protections that are afforded to basically anyone who can claim that they're somehow being persecuted somewhere. An evangelical Christian family from Germany that has lived in Tennessee for 15 years, which sought asylum in the U.S. to be able to homeschool their children, is being deported by the Biden administration. This is who they send back. German family who sought asylum for homeschooling faces deportation after 15 years in the U.S. Now, there is much homeschooling oppression across Western civilization, let me tell you. At this point, I think that less than 5% of the surface area of Western civilization truly allows unobstructed homeschooling. 5%, because I've been shopping around. I've been looking, where can we flee to escape the leftists? And let me tell you, you have to flee far. And it's like, even when you look into the Central Europe, Eastern Europe, like, I'm gonna go live in the fucking poorest nation ever. Poorest white nation ever. Can I homeschool there? No, you can't. So what? So the homeschooling laws across Eastern Europe are dominated by local school officials deciding if you can homeschool your children. And of course, it's not in their economic interest that you do, because the more people they can bring in their public schools, the more they are going to get funding. So the local school official who is in complete conflict of interest has to give you the permission this year to homeschool your children. So forget about Eastern Europe. In Western Europe, it's completely illegal. I mean, Germany, France, I don't know what's the state in the UK. But in Western Europe, there will just it's just a crime to homeschool your children. If you homeschool your children, it's considered like you were just not educating your children, and it's considered negligence. Across Canada, there are a handful of provinces left, one or two, three, where you don't have to have a follow-up with the state as you homeschool your children. That is, there is an assumption that you are competent as a parent to homeschool your children. In places like Quebec, they will label it as homeschooling is available, but they have bureaucrats that are going after you, and you have to keep notes of everything you're doing. And if the bureaucrat who is completely incompetent in making that determination, if the bureaucrat doesn't like you, it will mark you as not perfectly homeschooling your children, and you will end up having worse than just being forced back to school. You will end up having the child protective services after you. So basically, there and the US, there is still a landscape of acceptable homeschooling happening. But you can see in the leftist states, there is lots of attention rising against homeschooling. And I hope that it becomes a constitutional right at some point, either now, like pushed through the right wing, or later, after a war or after some sort of destabilization of the US, or perhaps a separation of some states. I hope that we get this enshrined in the Constitution, because the leftists are totally going after this in the US, and that is probably their next target. Because the problem is, you do all this toxic political LGBT activism in public school, but then the clever parents are capable of getting away with it by saying, okay, we're not going to public school anymore. So forced public school is the next target for the leftists. Now that they've dominated the institution with their propaganda, their next target will be to keep you from withdrawing from that propaganda. Just like they had done, I don't remember in which state, they had made the LGBT parade or whatever, activity with children, LGBT activities, they had made it optional. And then basically everyone opted out, except a handful of parents. And then they said, oh, well, there's too many people opting out. Now it's obligated. Now it's obligated. So be careful. Homeschooling is a right that is under attack across the world. But the fact that the Democrats would go after a homeschooling family, because the principle of asylum is, if you are persecuted in your country, you should get protection. Now, it's always a system that is used unfairly, because anything that a black person or a Hispanic tells you about it, the bureaucrat is going to believe it, but they always end up not believing whites. Even the whites of South Africa, who are living under the highest murder rate a white population has ever encountered in the history of civilization. Like, they're getting killed, and they're getting attacked, and they're getting home invaded. Even these people, they come and the bureaucrats laugh at them. Oh, you want asylum for murder? No, you need to be persecuted. Did the murderer insult you about your gender while he was killing you? Because if you're not being insulted about your gender, I can't get you in. But here's the thing. The law on the books about asylum should totally qualify for people who are harassed for being homeschooling parents. Here's the total liberty that you have in the US that is denied to these people in Germany, and, clearly denied by law. So this is no doubt It's not, you know, there's no doubt about, oh, did this actually happen? Yes, it happened. Because there's a law in Germany that's keeping these people from practicing their parental liberty. So if asylum should apply to anyone, it should be these people. But no, instead, what do we get? We get minorities coached at the border by NGOs, and they coach them. Say this, because that's unverifiable. That's your story. That should be your story you say, because it fits all of the legal requirements and they can't verify. Say that there was some local gang who wanted to kill you because you're trans. Totally unverifiable. Can't ever know whether it's true. They're going to be bound to let them in. But these people have more than a story that they claim. They have more than an allegation. They have a demonstration, a public demonstration that Germany is oppressing them, and yet they're getting deported. African migrant harasses Italian man. Here, let's see what happens with him. Those are loose punches from the Italian, but let's see if he can pull his game up. The Italians, they live at a different rhythm. I mean, this guy was so relaxed. Man, this is the least, this is the punch with the least energy I've ever seen. I can't believe that he totally knocked him out. But that's what it is. We know the physics. When you catch the right portion of the jaw, I mean, you rotate the head, and that's just what it is. That's the human body. Lendald says, the loose boxer wins. Almost unbelievable. Had we not seen it, right? Yeah, it's almost unbelievable, because it seems to me that the young black man has much more energy, and that potentially he could put more in physical energy in a single punch. But it's all about where it lands, and it's all about the dynamics of the rotation of the head as it happens. New protections are rising against Wi-Fi waves of all sorts that are currently polluting our brains. Let's see what is the solution proposed here.
Microwave man, what the fuck? What you doing over here?
So you already know, bro. I'm doing the things I like to do. Hanging out 40, dude. You see me. I'm from New York, you heard? I'm from the Bronx, but I rep New York City. Stop playing with me, you heard?
I love how casually he... I love the casualty of the move to close your microwave window. I never realized that there was something practical there. It's like, oh yeah, when the microwave can move, it totally closes itself just by a small rotation of the head. Let's look again at the casualness of the move, the practicality of it.
Microwave man, what the fuck? What you doing over here?
So you already know, bro. I'm doing the things I like to do. Hanging out 40, dude. You see me. I'm from New York, you heard? I'm from the Bronx, but I rep New York City. Stop playing with me, you heard?
Okay, yeah. I don't know why black people are riding those mopeds. These little bike or little cars. I guess it's because they must be cheaper than real bikes. I don't know. Maybe maybe if you want to go very cheap and you need to transport yourself, that may be the best option. But I've never been familiarized with these devices. These are the college professors who are studying and micro-analyzing Nick Fuentes' rise. We have someone who appears to be a expert on the subject of Nick Fuentes. Let's listen to what they have to say.
We have a chapter on what we call Joker politics, which is the rise of Nick Fuentes, who ends up eating Thanksgiving dinner with Trump and Kanye West.
That's right.
Thanksgiving dinner is on our mind.
Not that long ago. So I think we're the first people to really chronicle where he came from and what his power level is and how he ended up hosting conferences where, you know, Paul Gosar and MTG had showed up to talk to the crowd. And so, you know, there's a lot to learn and discover. You know, I think sometimes I feel like I live in this shadow world where you have mainstream politics. And if you watch what's happening in right-wing politics on the internet, 6 months later, it's happening in the party. And we have a chapter on...
Okay, so she has a book with a chapter on the power levels of Nick Fuentes, professor of journalism and emerging media studies at Boston University. James says, I think she thinks Thanksgiving dinner is by yourself. I will not read the rest of your sentence, but holy shit, James, she's not shocked at the idea of Nick Fuentes having dinner with Trump. She's shocked at the idea that they had to split the turkey. Oh my god. Oh yeah, I had a super chat by Medhead that 2 days ago when I had to cancel the show because of technical issues. I forgot to read it yesterday, so let's read it. Medhead has sent $5. Thank you so much. You made me cry, James. Medhead was saying, how do you navigate the issue of negotiating housework with your wife? Have you had many arguments on this issue? And do you think the man, if he is the breadwinner, should not do any housework? Is housework / raising children as bothersome as it's made out to be by some woman? Let me tell you, caring for children is very demanding physically, especially young children. From 0 to 2, 3 years old, it's very demanding. Now, at 2, 3 years old, they start walking on their own. They start acquiring some degree of independence, and it starts being very funny there. But having children between the 0 and 2, the thing is, everything you do is with children in your arms. You need to carry them. You need to attach their belt for safety. You need to do so much stuff. And it's very exhausting on the shoulders. It's very exhausting on the arms. Now, of course, at this age, the best combo is the woman stays home. And therefore, most of the time, if you go to the grocery store, you can go as a male and she stays with the children. So there's not much carrying of children. And you really only do carry the children when it's a social opportunity for them. That being said, being a single parent demands a lot of work, because imagine you have 2 children, 3 and 1 year old. Now you want to go to Walmart. Well, it's 1 child on one arm, and the other children, a 3-year-old, might be able to walk, but she's going to need help for, you know, getting into the seat, getting her belt attached, everything. So it is a lot of work, very demanding and very grueling, you know, very pulling down your physical energy. That being said, it's all pleasure, so it's not a big problem. But yes, it is physically demanding, and they want to play and they need attention, and it's you need constant attention being drawn toward your task as a parent. Now, it's totally doable if it's all you're doing in a healthy couple with a woman there. It's super perfect for the woman, because She can divide her attention across many tasks like cooking and caring for the children full time. But if you have, if somehow the situation isn't perfect, if you end up as a single dad or if you end up with a woman who works, you're going to have these challenges to your physical, like, it's going to be a physically testing, but that's good. It's good because first, that's exercise, so it's all good. And second, you are spending these efforts rather than spending these efforts on something useless for the rest of society, trying to make some hour-based salary. You are spending these efforts to your continuity on planet Earth, and that is absolutely great. So yes, housework and raising children is an effort. I wouldn't characterize it as bothersome, though. I would characterize it as somewhat middle grade demanding. Not, you know, there are things that are more physically demanding, and most advanced work that men can do is more physically demanding than children. But in the continuum between, say, being a computer programmer with zero physical work and being, say, a monkey surgeon with lots of physical work, it's somewhere in between. Now, your philosophy about if the man is the breadwinner, the sole breadwinner of the house, should he do any housework? I believe that the man should do some housework, but not the basic stuff. I believe that the man should always be there for installing furniture, plugging electricity on a washing machine, and plugging electricity on a dishwasher, that kind of stuff. The man should be in charge of electricity, internet continuity, networking of the house, lots of work, and landscaping work depending on the extent to which that's interesting for the wife. But yeah, so the man has a lot of housework, but it should be separate magistra. The doctrine of separate magistra. So basically, the man, if there's something that requires continued management, but that is very small, like placing plates somewhere on the shelves or cleaning the plates or putting the plates in the dishwasher, the best is that the wife does this. The man is better suited at the advanced stuff that requires his manliness and his knowledge of the technicalities like electricity, piping, plumbing, that kind of stuff. Things that, anyways, the wife will not do. She will need she will need to call someone if something happens with these. So the ideal is to be fully divided, because if you end up splitting the tasks in the sense of having the man do the placing of the plates or some of the dishwashing, the problem is that it's never... Like, females have these requirements, these arbitrary requirements. Like, when Mama JF was here, I mean, absolute pain in the fucking ass to be having the washing machine filled with only the clothes that are black, and then only the clothes that are colored, and then only the clothes that are white. And then, oh yeah, and your... And, you know, any clothes for people below the age of 10 must be in a separate washing machine. And then the socks. She was doing a washing for the socks. The fucking socks were washed separately from the rest. And then there was also a washing separately for the fucking towels of the bathroom. And man, I was looking at this and it's like $5 of electricity just poofed because of an arbitrary requirement into a female brain. And since she's gone, I'm taking the towels, the car carpets, the entry carpets, hammer. Oh, here's some insulation foam that I wanted to wash. Oh, here's my studio shirt. Here's my pants. Here's my underwear. Let's do a single wash. The time has come. The moon has aligned with the rise of Jupiter. It is time to make a wash. And then I turn it on to cold, very cold, minimal electricity, casual, extra casual. And then, unlike Mama JF, I take a little spoon of soap, and I'm like, bing! It starts washing. There is a washing quality to having all these things together. They shake themselves in different ways. I like to think of it as some sort of magic. Some sort of magic that wasn't captured by Mama JF. That I can get these things to wash themselves with 10%. The soap that she was using, and probably about 5 or 10% the electricity waste, because she would divide it in so many washes, and she had arbitrary requirements like, we have to use hot water. It's like, if you want me to ever use hot water on a washing machine, you're going to have to show me two different clothes that you have dirtied in the exact same way. You're going to have to show me that the hot button improves the cleaning. I need to be able to smell it with my nose, because that's my threshold for human detection. And really all I care about when I wash my clothes is whether some other human can detect that I'm dirty. So show me something that can cross the threshold of a high IQ sniffer. I have gone, my nose has gone to places where even Joe Biden hasn't gone, okay? If you want me to invest on a waste of electricity that will poof in the air as a loss of heat into the great progression of entropy of planet Earth, you need to show me two shirts. One of them still stinks after being in the fucking dryer. Because I'm a man of physics, okay? The heat that you put in the washing machine is merely a fraction of the heat that you input into this cloth when it's going to be in the dryer. If heat was doing anything, it would do it in the dryer. So, you know, rename the dryer all you want. Let's call it a washer dryer. But anything that heat can contribute here must also happen in the dryer. Now, I know what the females are equipped with vicious arguments when it comes to this. They will tell you, oh, it's about increasing the dilution capability of the water in the washing machine. You don't get this in the dryer. Well, then, woman, you're going to have to show me that the amount of dirt and salts located on a dirty cloth of mine is saturating the dilution of the solution that water constitutes alongside soap in the washing machine. You're going to have to explain to me how much salt am I carrying in my fucking underarms or whatever, armpits. You're going to have to quantify the salt. You're going to have to show me that the liters of water, literally the liters of water that you're pouring into this washing machine, are unable to somehow absorb the little teaspoon of salty material that emerges from under my armpit. Good luck, lady! BTFO'd on the internet! John Garas says, woman getting BTFO'd. Yes, exactly. They don't have an argument. That's why they cower away. They do their washes and they consume energy, and they don't really want to engage with the truth. But here on JFG Tonight, we cover the truth. So all of this, this all started from a super chat of Medad about housework. Because of everything I've just explained, it's better off to just leave separate magistrate, because you're never going to enter it in their head that what they do makes no sense. And they will always be unsatisfied by the work you do with plates. So it's like, okay, well, you do the plate. You do the plates, you do the dishwasher, and I will do these things. And you don't judge me on how I do this because you don't care, right? You can't judge me on electrical connections and resistor variants. And I won't judge you on how much energy you're wasting with your fucking separate washes. The doctrine of separate magistry has always worked. And it came to the point where I've left a separate magistrate to my girlfriends. For example, Mama JF, I said, okay, you control the fridge. You control the fridge. I had only a small in-the-door type of container, you know, a small butter-sized, maybe a couple of Diet Pepsi cans. That was my container that I was like, this is my container. And I'm able to survive on this. I mean, I can, just a little container like this, I can have all of the food that I need for the week. And Mama JF would pack the rest of the fridge and the rest of the freezer with useless stuff. And she would accumulate them and they would go bad and they would go to waste. And it's so wasteful. But somehow you have to accept the waste, accept there's going to be a share of things that I don't control. And it's like out of my head. I don't want to think about it because when I think about it, it makes me too depressed. That is my position on housework. And yes, when you're the breadwinner, as a man, you should be totally limited to only doing the technical stuff that women are unable to do, like electricity, that kind of stuff, plumbing. Raised Fist says, Jeff, shine a black light on the armpit of one of your clean shirts. You will see that Mama JF was right. Don't you think there's a light already? Okay, you mean a black light in the sense of these fluorescent purple things? I don't care. There's no way you're saturating liters of water with this. Do you know how much salt can be absorbed by water? Do you know the point at which it truly matters? Whether the water is heated, you could take a whole bag of salt, empty it in the washing machine, and it still wouldn't reach the point where temperature starts to matter. Temperature would start to matter maybe at the end of the bag. There's no way I'm carrying a bag of salt on my shirt, okay? Dinologovich says the washing machine thanks you, Jeff. Wow, I had never thought about this, but you're absolutely right. My savings behavior, my ecologically driven behavior of just saving money, saving electricity, is going easy also on this poor washing machine who has no say on her fate. Big Tech Exodus says, this is actually an interesting topic. How does one find the exact right amount of soap? Enough to bind with all the dirt, but not enough to leave residue? Well, I mean, the right amount of soap for the whole history of humanity has been zero soap. And it was totally fine. People don't realize that soap plays a role when you have something to digest that is proteic, that is sugar-based, or something to melt that is fat-based, and that somehow the lipophilic property of the fat are making it stick to the clothes. The reality is that 90% of the washes you do in your life wouldn't need soap. I can imagine a function for soap if you've been inadvertently dipping your shirt in a dirty pan of bacon grease. Maybe. But the reality is soap is not essential at all. We should live without soap. Why not wash ourselves with what has always been working? Water. Now, I always use a little bit of soap, but we should be reducing the amount we use. It's nonsense. The people who did this want you to be mad over this. Isn't that spectacular? That this was just an act of government and that this was an insurrection against the government in the leftist logic. Isn't that fascinating? Aquanote says, JF, soap is literally the reason why the Black Death ended. You don't know this. Just like you don't know whether the vaccines have stopped the pandemics of disease A, B, C. You just assume. You assume correlates. But if the Black Death has caused one-third of the world population to die, don't you think that the remaining two-thirds were more genetically fit to survive future Black Death event? Like, people assume these things, like, we don't know. That's your narrative as a modern technocrat. That somehow a scientist came in and said, ha-ha, ha-ha, soap, and ha-ha, pasteurization, ha-ha-ha-ha. And you don't know anything. You don't know if the wave of death actually led to an evolution of humanity that led us to have overall modern, better immune system than those of the poor potato eaters that were populating the earth then. You have no clue. Big Tech Exodus says, I think JF underestimates the importance of soap in washing clothes. I do. I do, and I stand by it. And a bathed picture, wow, this is a anti-drone EMP rifle. My God, the looks of it. This looks serious. Like, this is beyond prepping. This is, I'm prepped and I'm actually efficient in resisting against drone attacks by my government. But in this case, it comes from the El Salvadorian president, Nayib Bukele. people say it's a net. Strays Channel says it's a net. But I thought it would shoot some magnetic wave. You're telling me it just shoots a net and catches the drone? I don't know. What's an EMP? An EMP? Normally an EMP, it's an electromagnetic pulse, isn't it? EMP anti-drone rifle. Let's resolve this because that's interesting. The EDMS Sky Wiper is a portable electronic warfare anti-drone device. It jams the communication and satellite navigation using electromagnetic pulse. So I don't know what he was holding precisely in his hand, but certainly there exists electromagnetic-based guns against drones. So they work by jamming. And as a last news item, we have a baby in a car seat just left to fend for herself on the streets. I don't know, was it a pissed-off mother who said, I had enough, I'm dropping you on the streets? Oh, well, parental care, cuckoldry. Someone will end up having to care for this girl, one way or another. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.